You're listening to Scratching and Thriving, a lifestyle podcast hosted by two dope professionals who are passionate about empowering people to thrive. I'm Dr. A.
And I'm Brandon. And we are two longtime friends who met about 20 years ago during undergraduate studies. And we took two different paths in life. I'm a healthcare executive and lifestyle guru.
And I'm an educator and entrepreneur.
And we are here to bring you the content that will help you thrive.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey, Adrian. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am good. Happy New Year.
I know. Happy New Year. 2020 is behind us. Looking forward to Broadway Day.
Yes, we made it. We made it. We made it.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at an article the other day about Hadia Broadbent. Do you remember her?
I do. She was a little girl born with HIV back in the 80s, right? 80s and
90s. Yes.
Okay.
She became a household name when she appeared on the Oprah show and talked about her experiences as a five-year-old living with HIV AIDS and her advocacy work and, you know, just sharing her experience. And so this article that I came across was talking about 30 years later, where is Hadia Broadbent? And I thought, I was like, wow, that's an interesting question because we've made so many strides in HIV AIDS research. And so I was like, I wonder what happened to her. Where is she? So we have a great opportunity today because we're going to talk with Hadia.
Awesome. Awesome. So we're about to answer the question. So we are about to find out where she is 30 years later. All right.
Welcome, Hadia. We are so glad to have you here with Scratching and Thriving. Brandon and I have been looking forward to this episode so that we can talk about something that's very important in our community and something that is ever present as individuals who are dating, sexually active, and who care about the community and its health. So thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me. Thank you for sending out the request. I'm honored to be here.
Awesome. So, Hadia, you know, many people remember you from, 20, 30 years ago when you were that five-year-old, six-year-old little girl on the Oprah show talking about your recent diagnosis and your experience and sharing your experience and your story with the world. What is that like? And what has it been like sharing your experience your entire life?
I've been honored to the point I haven't had to share my whole life with the world. I've been allowed private moments that haven't gone into the world. So I'm grateful for that. It hasn't been an easy journey being a, like, quote unquote child celebrity or child star, because many people grew up with me. You know, the 90 era is like really tight for cultural generations. Like, I don't know what it is about the 90s, but it's like that feel good era that people sometimes want to go to. And to be a part of that is hard sometimes because people feel like they own a part of you or invested in a part of you. So sometimes it's hard when you're like, you know, I'm an adult now. Like, let me express myself. I'm not a child anymore. But overall, I can say I've been very blessed because I've been able to turn something that's negative and can be seen dirty and is so hard, so many people to talk about, I've been blessed to turn that into something positive. So I can't complain that much.
That's so true. So, you know, I work in healthcare, so I see HIV AIDS patients daily, basically. And I've seen them for a few years now. I've been nursing for a while. And I know that even since I started, they've made great strides with treatment. And I know in 1981, there was not much to be, you know, not much treatment to be had. Given the treatment, what do people still need to be mindful of today about misconceptions about HIV/AIDS?
I think that people's misconception is that AIDS or HIV has totally gone away, which is not true. Mm-hmm. People are living longer. They're not walking around looking like death. My life expectancy is about either 70 or 80 years old or older, even if I'm able to take care of myself. You know, that means eating right, working out. But a misconception a lot of people has is that HIV has gone away. It hasn't gone away. And we treat it like it's a normal STI or STD. And it's not. Like, I don't think people understand how much debt you can acquire. You know, until we had the Affordable Care Act, a lot of people had to live between like minimum wage to try to get health insurance to pay for their health care. So sometimes people don't understand the hidden burden that goes to HIV.
Can you talk a little bit about that hidden burden that people don't understand? Because I think you're right in that there is this misconception that you pop a pill, you'll be okay.
Right. But there's a mental aspect to go along with it as well.
Yeah. And I don't want to, like, because we have PrEP. Like, PrEP is awesome. PrEP is the one pill you take a once a day to make sure you don't get HIV. That is awesome. We have treatment as prevention, which means we have somebody who's living with HIV, who takes treatment, can prevent HIV from becoming onto their child or significant other. We have that. So I don't want to downplay any of that, the investments that we made, but the hidden burden is, to be realistic, sometimes people have to live below minimum wage to get health care. Like, sometimes that is a burden they have. Now we have insurance that helps pay for their job care, but now we have COVID-19, who has knocked a lot of people out of work. It's like, right now is a crazy time.
It is. You talked about your life expectancy and taking care of yourself and being mindful of eating right and exercising. Mm-hmm. What is your self-care regimen?
You know, when I'm able to, I like to eat organic, anything that I can. But that also comes with a financial cost. So, you know, right. I'm not working for COVID-19. True. But what I can, I eat as pure as I can. Because why I am advocate for medication and treatment as prevention, these medications are very harsh. They're very toxic on your body. So what you want to do is purify as much as you can with your food or maybe vitamins to off balance or keep the balance in your body. For me, I also suffer from depression. And so I have, like, working out is kind of key for me to keep my balance, because it gives endorphins. So
endorphins, get them pumping, that blood pumping.
Yeah, you're saying indoors now. I know a lot of people are locked down. I am adhering to the lockdown just because my immune system, I don't want to get sick. I can't work right now. So during COVID-19, I try to work out as best as I can and try to eat as well as I can.
So it sounds like exercise and eating well is something that you're very, very passionate about. Tell us what else you're passionate about.
I'm passionate about my family. I love my family to death. My biological family and my adoptive family. I know a lot of times if it feels like people try to make me choose between the two. And I'm like, you know, that's not the way it goes.
Right. You can't choose that.
You can't choose that. That's like, you can't. No. My niece, she's my motivation. She keeps me going. And I think that's it. I'm passionate about freedom of expression, allowing people to be who they are. I am passionate about transgender rights. I am passionate about just not following the norm sometimes. That's, you know, and that can be very risque, but
I like to echo that one. Yeah, I have to agree with
Absolutely. And I think this generation is more passionate about that as well, because we have lived through, I mean, I grew up heavy in the crack epidemic and having to live through that. And, you know, people make fun of you for different things, and you have to learn to love yourself and Absolutely. Accept yourself for who you are and what you bring to the table. So that difference is great.
I agree.
So when you're not talking about AIDS and HIV, what do you watch on TV? Who do you talk? What do you talk about? Like, what are you following?
Right. How does Hadia decompress?
You know what? I haven't had, you know what? I'm trying to learn how to decompress the COVID-19, because I can't do the things I used to do. Like, I used to have girlfriends and we would go out to brunch we would mm-hmm. go out to brunch and, you know, we would go to the club and, you know, I like to dance, and we can't do that anymore. So I'm trying to find out what it is, because I'm hyperactive. I'm a hyperactive individual sometimes, even though I suffer from depression. So I'm trying to learn and teach myself how to meditate and be still. I think this is the season of trying to be still, which is a weird season because, or a weird time we're in, because so many people are like, okay, I have to grind now, because it's almost like I don't have anything. So it's like, you mm-hmm. have to find that balance. So for me, when I'm at home, I enjoy cooking. That calms me. And also, I'm trying to do yoga. I think I mentioned that already. And just meditation and just finding my balance, because I
right.
am in a season of a new idea, and I can't fight that. I can't. This is a season of transformation for me, and I need to figure out and make sure it's a balanced and well idea.
So what does that look like, this season of transformation? Because I would agree with you. I mean, the COVID has forced us to reflect, to look at things differently, remove people.
Yes.
What is this season of transformation for you?
But you know what? Let's go take it a step further. This has been a season of a reset for the whole world.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nothing is like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this new world, like Adrian said, what does it look like for you?
For me, trying to figure out how to play by the rules of the world, because, you know, when the world was so busy and active, I think I got ignored a lot. And now that everyone kind of is steady, they're like, oh, what is Hadia doing? And transformation for me is very personal. It's about figuring out my love life, where I want to go, like figuring out what type of men I'm into. It's just a season of really thinking and trying to figure out myself, because I felt before, when I was in the forefront of the epidemic and the forefront of activism, I had to be very sheltered, and you mm-hmm. know, you're groomed in a certain way. And now, like, mm-hmm. we've been cooped up, I'm like, hey, you know what? Hadia's kind of a video fiction kind of chick. And, you know, and I want to mm-hmm. be my alter ego. Like, it's okay. been, like, I'm trying to figure that out. Like, to be conservative Hadia, but also the risque Hadia, the sexy and single free Hadia. So mm-hmm. I'm still on that journey, and y'all got to be patient with me.
That's all right.
I get it. Yeah.
I think we're all transforming during this time. Everything is so different now. Like when you said, you know, the things you used to do to decompress, you can no longer do them. I'm kind of in the same situation. Like I used to go travel, love to travel, love to fly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right now it's just not safe to do it. So I get it. We all trying to figure all this out, this whole new thing out as one, basically.
Exactly. Like, mm-hmm. and that's what I'm used to. I'm used to traveling and not having to stay in one place. And I don't mm-hmm. know if that caused me to run from some things or to not deal with some things. But like now being at a standstill, you have to do like some deep, I think, visualizations of yourself.
Mm-hmm. So are you actively dating?
I am dating. That's all I can say about that.
Okay.
So let's talk a little bit about what dating looks like for you. What's your ideal person? And then also kind of what dating is like being HIV positive and having AIDS.
So dating with HIV is no easy task because you always have to disclose. And it's not something that's easy to ever really disclose. I don't care how confident you may be or how, if you look at my Instagram, you'd be like, she's confident, she's sexy, and you don't get the experience when I have to, or if someone doesn't know me for my activism work or someone doesn't know me. So dating right now is kind of like just experimenting, just kind of figuring it out. And I know what type of man I need. A man that is street smart, but not in the streets, not in the streets.
Right.
And I don't want to put labels in it. I don't want to create in my mind a list of criteria that a man should have to meet. But I know he can't be scary, a thuggish a little bit. It's fine with me. Like I said, in the street smarts, but not in the streets. Business savvy, and is looking for a relationship, is looking for a partner, someone to really invest your time in. Because to invest your time and your energy into people is not easy. So I need somebody who's dedicated to one person and like, okay, you're who I want to be with.
We just had an interview last week with someone who is currently on a dating show, and she was talking about something similar, you know, somebody who's ready to take that leap and be prepared. And I think when you become of a certain age, which I think all of us are on that call, on this call,
wait a minute.
It's kind of like, first of all, Brandon, you were on the other side of 30,
mind
okay?
Your business.
You start to look for very different things. The good time guy is cool and it's okay, but you want somebody that you could be serious with because you're talking about investing time in your life and experiences with them. So I completely get it.
Well, I think as you age too, your criteria changes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Because your patience gets short. So foolishness you're not going to tolerate.
My mouth gets more flippant.
Very flippant. And you be thinking, oh, I can see this ain't gonna work. And but then there are some, at some point though, there are some things that you tolerate more because you understand them better.
True.
So it just, as time goes on, I think that your criteria will change. But I'm gonna tell you, if by the age of 30, if the light bulb ain't on, check the switch.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Something ain't right.
So, Hadia, what's your advice to someone who may have been recently diagnosed with HIV or AIDS? Like, what would be your advice if you were mentoring them or kind of consoling them or helping them understand and get prepared for this journey? What would you recommend to them?
Well, I would first recommend getting into any kind of therapy that you can. Not any kind, but the right therapy that is for you. And I say that with caution that it will take you a moment to find your right therapist or psychiatrist, whatever one you choose, because this disease is going to trigger all type of different emotional responses, things you didn't even know, past traumas that you may not have dealt with. So I would say get into therapy as fast as you can. Depending on what your emotional state is, I would say treatment as prevention is best. Early detection is key. From right now, what I would say, especially the time that we're in, is make sure you have some emotional support.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very important because people always think of HIV and AIDS as a physical disorder, but it's really mental as well, because that's a lot to carry. And it's very hard to tell people about it. So you're pretty much carrying that alone. So I echo that one. Therapy, I think, is going to be key to mental stability.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You know, sometimes people can be really down about AIDS and HIV. Talk to us about some of the happier times in your life and moments where you celebrated, and share that with our listeners and how that has inspired you to continue to thrive.
My activism has always been a delightful for me, going out and meeting people and hearing different people's stories. That has always been a source of also inspiration for me.
So, Hadia, tell us what you have in store for 2021, or what you have going on right now.
Okay, what I have going on now is World AIDS Day Party Virtual Reality. HideaBroadbent.com. You can find out more information. It's going to be with some of my positive HIV friends just talking and discussing HIV. We'll have an on-site DJ because we're going to keep it fun and lively, but also informative.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Yes, because I'm a fun time girl. Like, people don't know that about me. I'm like, give me the fun. So... So I hope everyone joins me. That is December the 5th, 5 p.m. Pacific time. Also, I'm selling candles, Winx Candles, a Black-owned candle company. And so everyone can find that information on either my Instagram, Facebook, or website. And I'm on, everything is under my social media. All my social media is under my name, HideaBroadbent.com. Facebook is HideaBroadbent.fan. So if you would like to add me on there, I would greatly appreciate it. And that's awesome. That's all that's going on with me.
All right. That's quite awesome. A bit. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, thank you for...
Keep up the work.
So thank you for joining us today, Hidea. We appreciate it. It was informative. And I think our listeners have gained something from this conversation.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
And I'm blessed. And as long as God gives me the work, I will keep it up.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
All right, Adrian. I think, you know what? I think that we did preach a word to the folks today.
All right.
Good conversation.
Mm-hmm. And we want to hear how you're thriving.
Right.
So
right.
Let us know. Let us know, what's your definition for success? What does it take for you to thrive? What has been your experience? We want to hear that from you. So share it with us so that we can learn from your experiences and other people, some of our other listeners and thrivers can learn as well.
Right, and look us up on Instagram, Facebook, and send us emails. Because we do want to hear your success stories. And, you know, we also want to hear those things that you may be struggling with. Because, you know, we may be young, but we've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations. That we can tell you how to overcome some of these hops. I'm just telling you.